In his Friday edition, we team up with Judy Silber of KALW in San Francisco. She was on the run for Salmon. She is talking, interviewing Kayleen Sisk, chief of the Wintu-Winnemem tribe, about the water quality that she has experienced from the McLeod River to the San Francisco Bay.
Well, okay, so yeah. for Hoopa Radio, can I just have you, why don't we have you say your name?
Okay. I'm Chief Kayleen Sisk from the Winnemem Wintu tribe. Right now we're at Muir Beach in Marin County, and we're here putting down the prayers for the whales.
It's the end of the run for salmon.
We brought that run all the way down from Mount Shasta, which is, you know, where we're from and where the salmon swim to. So we started on Mount Shasta at the spring, putting a prayer at the spring and asking for all those good things to happen for us and to protect us and take care of us on our journey. I think next time we have to pray for our cars. We had a lot of mechanical issues.
So in terms of water, what is it? What did you notice about the water from Shasta to here?
Oh, the major thing of it is that when we started the spring, that spring is like an artesian bubbling system that bubbles up from the ground, and you can see the bottom, you know, and it flows down the stream and all the way down the stream. You can see the bottom of the creek. That's where we started, right? And for us, it's like McLeod River, it comes in to be the McLeod River, and it's the same. You can see all the way to the bottom. And so we're used to seeing a river system where you can see the bottom. But as you come further down through the agricultural parts of California, it changes big time. The waters change to a murky, greenish brown color, and it just gets worse from there. And that's the way it is all the way down through the Delta. It's difficult to say, you know. I always think that in Hawaii, in the ocean, you can see the bottom, you know, it's so beautiful water. It's like, I don't know why our ocean isn't like that. Or maybe it would have been, or maybe it was at one time clear and you could see the bottom. But now, because we have so many pollutants, that people doesn't even know, you know, what's normal. Is this normal?
And what about temperatures? Did you notice anything different about this year because it's so warm?
Yeah, the temperatures of the water is much warmer. Even in our river on the McLeod, it should be like 56 degrees. But this year, I think that PG&E must be pumping more water out of the McLeod because it was much lower than it should be. They're supposed to keep 200 CSFs in the McLeod River, supposedly for the protection of the fish and the river. But this year, I don't know if they measured or not, but I'm pretty sure it was much lower than 200, and it was much warmer. It didn't turn your feet red, and you know, people were able to stay in the water all day without getting out and kind of warming up, which is totally unusual for that to ever occur. And then there was much more moss in the bottom of the river than it should be. And that's from the warm water that's coming down. That was a sad sight for me. You know, I did approach Forest Service about that and ask them, you know, is PG&E taking too much water? You know, and what can be done about that?
So you don't think it's just the drought?
No.
Or just warm? Oh, really?
No. They're pumping water out because they're creating more power. The original flow of the McLeod in the summertime is supposed to be around 1,000 CSFs. And in the wintertime, it's supposed to be like 6,000. But it's not anymore, you know. Most people think that the 200 is normal. I guess you can say it's the drought because of the rain and that kind of thing.
No snow.
But at the same time, it's like there has not been any regulation on the use of water other than to a common citizen, you know, in Redding area. There's no restrictions on the PG&E converting cold water to warm water. That's what they do for this drought. And they utilize to generate power. But for the citizens of California, they're not getting that power. That power is auctioned off to the highest bidders out of San Francisco. And then it's transmitted, you know, to Las Vegas or Reno or Oregon or Washington, anywhere they pay the most for the power.
But why do citizens agree to that? Because then we're left with a river that's dying and a world-class fishery. I mean, people prize California on the McLeod River fishery. People from all over the world come to fish on the McLeod. Right now, those rainbow trout are at risk, and nobody's saying a darn thing about it, you know?
What about the salmon being at risk on the Sacramento because the waters are so warm?
Yeah, and the waters are warm because the state is transporting water at the wrong time for the farmers, for the big ag farmer. I'm not talking about farmers. It's like big ag, big business, GMO farmers who have like 20 miles of strawberries, those farmers, not the farmers that provide the diversity of food on your plate that sell in California. They don't qualify for the subsidies. They don't get the breaks that California gives to big ag. And so it's a time when regulations have to be looked at, you know, and they want to make it sound like it's all complicated because of all of the water rights and this and that and everything. It's like, what about the drought? Isn't that a complication that needs to be addressed? And how can we address it if we're going to let big ag siphon all the water at the wrong time of the year, leaving the cold water pool of Shasta is draining because they're pulling off all the water, sending it to farming, which just warms up.
Do you have an opinion about how Shasta Dam should be regulated, especially during drought years?
They need to adjust the regulations for dispersing water out of Shasta. They have a maintenance plan that is like, 50 years old? That's based on a science that doesn't exist anymore, based on a rainfall that doesn't come anymore, based on a water pack or a snowpack that's not there anymore. And they're releasing based on those issues, which is totally outdated. Even if they updated that, they would be regulating the water in a different way. And why won't they regulate it? I don't know. It's like they're waiting to build Shasta Dam higher, then they can redo their maintenance plan and their disbursement plan. But they should do that now.
And have you heard anything about updating the regulations given the changing conditions in California?
No, the Trump plan is still in place. And people think just because Trump's out of office that everything changes. But Biden has not changed the regulations that are or executive orders that Trump had about raising Shasta Dam. And so far, Deb Haaland, the Department of the Interior, hasn't really addressed that issue either. And so we're all subject still to their progressing towards that, in which they are.
Progressing towards raising of Shasta Dam.
Right. Raising of Shasta Dam is still on the table. It's still got life. The biological opinion that Trump's people came in and did still stands, which allows the permits for not considering the endangered species. You know? So it is a problem. And it's not going to fix the drought situation in California.
What's not going to fix the drought situation?
Raising Shasta Dam. That is like a drop in the bucket of what California uses.
Well, it doesn't even make sense to me because right now the dam couldn't be filled given the rainfall that's happening right now, right?
Right. That dam has only come close to being filled 3 times in its history. And so just because you raise it, there's no water in it now, and they're pumping it all out. You know, when the idea of dams, when they came about, was one, to regulate the flooding, and two, to have water during droughts. But in the meantime, all of these things have passed and they have put regulations on the water and who gets the water. And they're using these dams like bank accounts. They're not savings accounts, they're spending accounts. And so they're buying paper water and demanding that their farm get that water, regardless of what time of year, whether the salmon are spawning or the juveniles are going out. It doesn't matter.
Well, they need to basically redo the regulation so that it takes into account more the seasons of salmon spawning and running, and then also the amount of water that's actually in the rivers now versus 50 years ago. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's part of it. Part of it is that, but the other part of it is that during this whole water change and their money changing hands about building dams or building reservoirs or creating tunnels or, you know, this is a billions and billions of dollars. And at the same time, it's like they don't want to look at what's happening to the salmon and have been happening to the salmon this whole time before this. I mean, the salmon have been on a crash since the dams went in. And this is just the critical time that there's not enough salmon to say, oh, well, you know. So now it is a time that people have to really change the process, you know. And I mean changing the process by acknowledging that pistachio trees are not extinct. They're not going extinct. They're not even on an endangered threatened list. And so even if we didn't grow pistachios for 2 or 3 years, it would not hurt the economy because most of that product is shipped out of state. And so California isn't building its economy system based on big ag. And big ag, the issue of endangered species has to really be looked at, and then maybe the common people have to look at whether or not they're willing to give up a keystone species, the indicator of how healthy our water is, and for pistachios that doesn't really provide the economy of California. You know, big ag takes 80% of our water and produces 2% of our economy. Why do California people agree with that? You know, because they're hiding under farmers. Most of California thinks they're farmers. They're not. They're not farmers because farmers care about the land. They rotate their crops. They utilize their water in the best way possible. Those are farmers. They're not producing 20 miles of strawberries and spraying them with pesticides and making these juicy looking fruit that has no nutrients and has bad pesticide on it for you. It's like, that's not farmers. That's big ag business.
So this is my last question. Even with the waters warming and saying that salmon could really be in a critical place right now, do you still feel hope?
Yeah, because salmon are incredible. I mean, they are the miracle fish. They do things that people don't know that they can do. And it's probably not the first time that there's been warm waters. I mean, these fish are really remarkable in what they can survive. You know, and I think that because people, since the dams, have tried to replicate in a habitat. And these salmon have survived that system. Not in great numbers like they used to, but they have tolerated the people's idea about how much water they need, how cold they need that water, you know, how long do they need it, when do they need it. It's like all the people are making all these decisions about nature. And these salmon have incredible survival skills.
So, but that said, do you feel like we're at a critical we're at a critical point in time?
We are, and the message is for people, not for salmon. Salmon will live on beyond us, but if we don't allow them to swim those rivers, our water is going to turn bad. we're not going to have the kind of water that we need. So it's a matter of realizing the critical issues are about people ignoring nature. There are lots of keystone species that are telling people, you got to change. There's no sense in this profit-building society that allows people, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars that they're never going to spend in their lifetime. Why do the other people agree? I always think, you know, the game Life, when you get the typhoon, is like, you can't make no more money. We should get to that. There should be a level, a top level. It's like, be happy with your, you know, $200 billion. Stop making money. You hoarders, they're hoarders. And they gotta be fixed. They need some healing.
Okay. Thank you so much, Colleen. Okay. Thank you.
The Friday edition is a production of KIDE Hoopa Tribal Radio. The guest interview has been done by Judy Silber of KALW. We thank her for her contributions. The producer and editor has been Joseph Orozco. We thank you for listening.